I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. On today's show, I'll talk to Rachel Reinstra, host of the Wildlife Docs, a Saturday morning show on ABC. Stick around, and I sure hope that American Eagle sees me as a friend and not food. Rachel Reinstra's got a great job. She hosts ABC's The Wildlife Docs, a Saturday morning not just for kids TV series. Filmed at the Busch Gardens Amusement Park in Tampa, Florida, she gets to interact with all kinds of endearing and unusual critters as the show presents stories of animal interaction, medical intervention, and recovery. The show is sweetly presented, and Reinstra gives it an element of amusement and wonder, appearing between segments to make introductions and act as behind-the-scenes ringmaster for Busch Gardens creatures and veterinary staff alike. And that voice of hers, think Taya Leone or Ellen Barkin, will keep adults hooked as it announces her arrival even before we see her, a little scratchy and a little guttural in a sexy but unthreatening manner. Reinstra has been in show business for many years as an actress, but seems to have found her niche with animals. In addition to the Wildlife Docs, she also starred in Ms. Adventure on Animal Planet. Rachel Reinstra, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Media.
Good to have you. Nice to see you. And I know you have company there with you. Why don't we just let people know who's with you there, keeping you company.
Let's see. You are not just interviewing Rachel Reinstra. You're interviewing Oprah. This is Oprah Winfrey.
Hi, Oprah.
She didn't get hair and makeup done, so she's feeling a little different right now.
Yeah, but she's slimmed down a little bit since the last
time. Yeah, she has. She really has. She's, she's... She's between interviews as well. So,
okay.
And this is Mr. Peabody.
Mr. Peabody.
About 14 years old. Dog years, do the math. It's older than probably either you and I will ever achieve this lifetime.
Probably. I can speak for myself. I will not reach 14 dog years.
No.
What breed are they?
They're a mix. They're rescues. I think they're Chihuahuas because, I mean... For some reason, they're attracted to me, and I'm to them. Maybe it's a blonde actress thing. I don't know. L.A. thing. Now I really am that actress.
And
convertible with a Chihuahua.
And the significance of one being named Oprah and one Mr. Peabody?
I got him at different times. Well, I just found him in February. He was abandoned and left to die.
Aww.
And I just thought with some glasses, look at that. Looks like Jeffrey Dahmer in The Fly, really. He's just not very attractive. He's like a bat.
He is like a bat, yeah. I see that.
And Oprah, because I just thought how funny it would be to scream Oprah in the middle of the park. Oprah, get over here! Oprah, sit! Oprah, right now!
Oh, God. Now there's a whole bunch of people out there thinking, I need to rename my dog.
Yeah, no. She's the only Oprah at any vet that I've been to in L.A., so that's pretty surprising, but it's true. I guess 50 Cent, his dog's name is Oprah, and I was so bummed because I thought I was the only one.
Well, see, but you and 50 Cent are probably thinking, I don't think I'm going to be relying on Oprah for a job anytime soon.
So. No. It has nothing to do. I love Oprah. In fact, I got Oprah on the last day. Oprah was on national television before she went off and did her own thing.
Really?
So, yeah, it was kind of fit.
And if you get another dog, will it be Rick Springfield?
Yeah, actually, that wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, I've been close to him, but I think, having Rick Springfield I can spend every night with might be a little better.
Okay. Well,
almost as good as the real thing.
not from what I hear, no.
Oh, come on.
Did you see Rick Springfield on Californication?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so
that was acting.
Well, sure it was. They brought up those ideas out of thin air.
No, I know.
Anyway, now that I've completely derailed the interview, let's start fresh with talking about your show.
Two things I love: animals, Rick Springfield. That's in alignment with Rachel Reinstra. I know that.
Okay, it's all in the same line. All right, I'll
and Oprah.
Some people feel very comfortable handling and being handled by wild animals.
Yeah.
When did you realize they were a good fit for you, though?
Animals in general? When did I realize animals in general were a good fit for me?
Yeah, but particularly working with them.
Well, I think I've just always been drawn to animals. I've always been an a huge animal lover. I wanted to be a veterinarian when I grew up, but then I'm too sensitive to the animals. I mean, I still cry when I see a dead squirrel on the road. I still cry, and I will spend hours saving bugs in a pool. Oh. So, you know, the ones that are still alive, I'll be like, hi, you know. So I think I just have a very strong attachment to animals, and I grew up, actually, my parents were missionaries in Ethiopia, and I was around a lot of wildlife. I mean, our family had a pet monkey, I mean, a real monkey. Wow. And we were around a lot of wildlife. It was a third world country, so it was normal for me. And then when I got my first gig in 2006 working with animals, I thought it was a dream come true, because I got to entertain, because I love doing stand-up comedy as well and hosting, and then I actually got to be in a personality-driven show where I traveled the world and compared animal and human behavior, which was perfect. Because there's so much, first of all, because the animals are the smarter species, and there's just so much comedy material there, you know?
Well, because you have to be able to react, because you don't know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen. No, I'm talking rappelling into bat caves and chasing pygmy elephants in Borneo. It's a lot.
It's very different from Jack Hanna just walking on a TV show with an animal and somebody handing the animal while he's sitting down to, you know, being, I mean, you're, you know, with the wildlife docs, you're there in their domain, basically.
Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. You have a point there. I mean, it's a little more controlled in Busch Gardens because they're taking care of, you know, over 10,000 animals there. And it's like an animal sanctuary there. So it's not the wild, wild. Where Misadventure, I traveled, you know, went to Borneo, South Africa, Costa Rica, Australia, Tasmania, and really after wild animals. But in this situation, what's great about it is the docs get to learn about wildlife and applying the techniques that they're learning so much about helping these animals, so that we learn more about the animals in the wild. But the SeaWorld Conservation Fund is an organization that has money that they put towards stuff that's in the field. Like, we went to Michigan for our episode 2 weeks ago. And we went to Michigan. That was a big deal because I got to get out of the park into the field. And that was to bring the pine marten back. It's a fund that they give money to and sponsor to help bring an animal that was almost extinct in Michigan back.
What is a pine marten?
There's a joke there. What does a pine marten? A pine marten... You know, it's from the weasel family. They're really, really cute. It probably doesn't look that different from this. But brown, and they live in trees, and they're solitary. And they are found in Canada and Michigan, which is where I'm from. But they became extinct because of logging and trappers killing them for their fur. And so they brought some back from Canada, and now they are... they're trying to reestablish them back in the Michigan area, which I think is kind of exciting, because anytime we can bring an animal back to where it originally was, it's good.
Now, is that I haven't seen, I have not seen every
you
episode.
You haven't watched the show.
What?
Oh, just say you haven't watched the show.
Oh, I watched the show.
You don't wake up on Saturdays, do you?
Oh, I don't have to watch it there. I can watch it on Hulu.
You actually can now.
I mean, there's 26 episodes from season one on Hulu.
I watched
a bunch of those, and I went to the YouTube channel where you can watch clips. For example, you can see behind the scenes clips with you, outtakes and such, with the kangaroo, which is where I made the reference in the opening. So, I've seen quite a bit. I want to go back though, because we went by it quickly. You mentioned growing up with a pet monkey. Tell me the pros and cons of that.
Well, I mean, you think it's kind of normal. I guess it's benefited my dating life, actually.
Okay.
You know.
Tell me about that. Go ahead.
Turn up around. Oh, come on, men, apes. There's, you know, all of us are really only 1% away from their DNA. So there's a lot of characteristics that are quite similar.
Some but more than others.
Yeah, that's true. Some more than others. As you're eating a banana, put the banana down. Come on, Bob.
I'm not touching that. Yeah. But no, really, I mean, when you have a monkey in the household, is it, you know, at night, where does the monkey sleep? Does the monkey have free reign?
My dad's a missionary doctor. My grandpa was a missionary doctor. So it was in Ethiopia. So they weren't sleeping, you know, in the bed with us. We were lucky if we got electricity. We had electricity for certain hours, and the monkey's in the jacuzzi watching TV. No, the monkey was outside living in the tree.
Oh,
but,
okay.
You know, out in our yard.
I see. So not living in the house, but essentially part of the family because the monkey was always around. And
exactly.
I see. And
yes.
Can you
blame
the monkey
for being around?
Yeah, they're hanging around. No, but can you play with a monkey like that? Can you?
Yes, absolutely. Oh man, even monkeys even wild monkeys in Borneo, they come right up to you. They'll take food right out of your hand. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. And monkeys aren't necessarily dangerous. They might grab your hair though, and they might. I mean, you're not worried about that.
That's why I'm off camera.
No, I mean, they can get quite territorial. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they might come up, and if you don't give them a piece of food, they might just take a crap right on you or next to you or just kind of tell you. I've definitely been shit on by monkeys. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Well, a lot.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, but so if it's a monkey, I haven't had this experience, and I've always been fascinated with the monkeys, but yes. If you've got a monkey that has grown familiar and that is around, can you? I mean, I know you're not going to play ball, perhaps like you would with a Labrador, but I mean,
yeah.
Can you play and you know establish a rapport with?
Oh, absolutely! Okay. They sit on your shoulder. You share your food with them. They do talk to you. I mean, most animals have a language of their own. You just have to, you know. Understand what they're saying, but they're very fun. They're so expressive, and they just have so much emotion going on all the time, and they're constantly looking around and very curious. They're always wanting to get to the next thing, so they're really, really fun to be around.
All right. Well, one of the things people see if they watch the wildlife docs is one of the things that I really liked is there are scenes with you or with the staff at Busch Gardens, and they're just handling the animals, and they're comfortable with each other. You can see that it's not the first time that they've handled a particular creature, and
yeah.
So you know there's a you know you, it, it's very emotional because they're holding the creature, they're introducing it to other people, and I think it would be great. That's what I said. I think you've got a great job. Interacting with these.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the animal caretakers at Busch Gardens, you don't really think about it. You know, you might go to Busch Gardens and see all these animals. You certainly see the roller coasters. But to see the animals, and they do such a great job mimicking where they're really from, whether it's the South African penguins or it's the meerkats. You get to see a sort of a miniature view of where they really are from and how they act in their environment. But you also get to see the animal handlers and with them. They've established these great bonds of trust that has taken years for them to establish with these animals in order to help the animals get the physical care that they need. Like if they need to get a shot, they've really worked with the hippos to, you know, teach them how to put their leg up and so they can easily give the animal a shot or whatever the animal needs for the best of its health at the time. So they've really established cool relationships, and it's neat to see because you don't really think about the animal caretakers when you see all these animals. You got to think someone takes care of them every night. Someone feeds them four times a day. You know, it's crazy. There's a lot of people involved.
Yeah, I was just thinking we're actually very lucky in the Tampa Bay area because we've got Busch Gardens and
yes.
all the animals there, but we also have the folks at Busch. I hope they don't mind, but I'll also mention we have Lowry Park Zoo, which is an incredible animal habitat. It's very natural habitat
for
the animals. And then the Florida Aquarium for sea life. And this is all within miles of each other. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, so. You guys have an amazing area. I love coming down to Tampa because you have a lot of different options as far as animals go and as far as places to go. And it's a really great area.
It's okay. It's all right. for a place in Florida, you know, the way you can.
Yeah, you got St. Pete, you got Clearwater, you got, you know, you have your options.
All right, I should throw in Clearwater Marine Science Center, where Winter the dolphin is from.
Oh yes,
I can't not mention that.
No.
All right, so let's skip around here. So as a child, you had this unusual childhood with missionary parents, but it took a long time for you. I mean, I'm thinking that you've really found your niche working with the animals and hosting these shows. But in between, there was a lot of acting and there were a lot of bit parts and things like that. Do you think it was just a maturing process and finding the right place that you were not around animals professionally for that period of time, or it's just the timing?
Well, it's interesting. I think it's all of that. I think that the more you discover who you are and you really hone that in and what you really love, then more of those opportunities find their way to you. But if you sort of sit there and you're not really sure what you want to do, this is a hard business. I mean, this is full of rejection. And, you know, I was always an entertainer, but I always loved animals. So I never thought that those two could come together. So I had to pick one or the other. And so I picked entertainment, and I love it, and I still love it, and I still love hosting and acting, and I love doing stand-up comedy. That's one of my favorite things. I play the guitar. I love doing all that, but you kind of have to decide, what are you going to make money at, and is it going to be this? And if it's this, then let me really go there, and let me really commit to it. And I feel like at a point in my life, the acting, as much as I love it, and the comedy, as much as I love it, I want it to have a larger purpose. Mm. I want anything in my life to have a larger purpose, because then it gives me a bigger reason to put myself out there. And animals, to me, it's a lifelong process that we have so much to do yet on this earth to do the right thing and to respect the animals that are here and to really understand that we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is kind of the bridge that might put me on a larger mission. Like with the Cecil the Lion thing, that woke up a lot of people.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I think that was a tipping point, really, with a wake-up call for how we're treating and all that stuff that's been going on with the trophy hunting and all the stuff that's been going on with the poaching and all the animals that, I mean, now the black rhino is now extinct. We'll never be back again on this planet. And that was just this year. Hmm. So, you know, there's a lot of work to be done, but I'd like to stay on the positive side of it and still educate and still inspire and get the kids, get them to, and us to realize that that these species are so magical. They have so many different capabilities that humans don't even have. Mm-hmm. And the more we educate ourselves about that, the smarter we'll become. And I think the more connected we'll be to the planet, and hopefully we're not going to, we're still going to screw it up, but, you know.
Well, as we're recording this, I think it's just a day after SeaWorld announced it was backing away from the whales.
Can't believe it. I can't believe it. That was huge news yesterday.
Yeah.
That was really big news.
So I'm guessing, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm guessing from your reaction that you're in favor of that step.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm so excited for this change to be alive while this shift is happening. As far as the elephants, think about elephants and circuses. That was in our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And now they're Barnum and Bailey's. They're, you know, fortunately, and hopefully we can find places for the elephants that have been in the circus and that have been abused. But I think that the age of animals performing for people, I think that's going to shift. And I think it's more going to be about conservation and rehabilitation and release back into the wild. And I think people are waking up that that's a more important journey than having them do a flip or entertain us. Mm-hmm. And Busch Gardens is owned by SeaWorld.
Right.
And I'm really proud of all the good that SeaWorld does. And I don't think that they have gotten attention on the good that's out there because of the reputation from the blackfish. So I think that was an important thing that had to happen so that things could shift even more.
I'm kind of thinking, I may be wrong about this, but I'm kind of thinking that one of the biggest shifts societally about this is that 100 years ago, 50 years ago, for people to see these wild animals, you could see a picture in a book, or mm-hmm. you could go to the circus, or you could go to a zoo. in the circus, they were going to be dancing animals. They were going to be performing animals. The zoo, there's been a movement in the last 25 years to go to more natural domains. So they're still caged, but they're in more of a setting. Like Lowry Park, for example, is like that, and Busch Gardens. And that with the internet on top of which, anyone can see pretty much video of any animal now. So it doesn't seem that it's as necessary to exhibit them as performers so much as to find ways. And the Discovery Channel has really had a lot to do with Animal Planet, where you see the wonder of nature and the wonder of these animals. But they found a way. I mean, let's be honest. They found a way to profit from that without exploiting them to the same degree. And maybe that's why the time is finally right for SeaWorld to start moving away from.
Absolutely, and they have a mission. I mean, they have their show that's on right before the wildlife docks, or right after it's Sea Rescue, and it's SeaWorld. It's all the people that work for SeaWorld saving animals in the water, whether they're turtles that are caught in fish lines or they're abandoned seals, and they do a lot of work as far as that. And I think that people want to see more of that. That's what you were saying. Like, it's not so much the circus and the animals performing for us anymore as it is. Let's help these animals. Let's keep them alive. Let's learn more about them by helping them and learning their behavior and what makes them survive in the wild.
Oh, let's coming back to wildlife docs. How did you get this gig? I'm curious what kind of audition you go through to land a job like this.
I think the big gig that put me on the map, really, as far as an entertainer and a host, was the Animal Planet gig, and it was called Ms. Adventure. Mm-hmm. And it was an entertainment-based, I mean, it was definitely a personality-based show. And that was the hard audition. That was, I edited together an audition tape and sent it in, and it was, you know, with a million other girls that did the same thing. And then they picked the final 10 and flew us to Maryland, where Discovery Studios had their big audition. And we had like a 2-day audition with live animals. And I mean, they threw stuff at us, and it was kind of like a competition. I'm surprised it was before reality TV really hit, but it would have been fun to have that. Of course, then they would have had like the country vote on who will be Miss Adventure, and I might not have gotten it, but the only reason I bring that up is that was sort of the tipping point for me and my career and being put on the map as an entertainer and an animal lover. So this came from that, even though that show only lasted a year, from like 2006 to 2007. But I went to 8 countries and 12 states and just traveled all over. And I think that had such a big impact that when they were looking for a host for an animal show, they were, okay, we need someone that's relatable, someone that's not going to be afraid of animals, someone that's, and I guess it was between me or a Mexican vet, which is what it always is between.
You've had a lot of gigs that come down to you or
me or the Mexican vet. No, it was a male guy. The demographic, this is what they wanted. And but no, somehow I got it. I did not even audition for it. I met a production company. But because of all the experience that I had and all the countries I had been to and all the animals I had seen, they knew that I could talk and walk. I mean, believe it or not, that's a skill in this town.
No,
to look at the camera and be able to sound relatable, and it's amazing how many people have a hard time doing it.
You know, there's so many shows that get on the air and you go, how did they hire somebody who can't walk and talk?
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just, so yeah, no, it's definitely.
Well, I do remember they asked me though, in the interview before I got this job on Wildlife Dogs, they asked, the production company said, are you okay, you know, getting near a porcupine or a giraffe? And in my mind, I'm thinking, I had tarantulas crawling on me in Arizona. I had, you know, howler monkeys shitting on me in Costa Rica. I've held the most venomous snakes in the world, the most venomous snake in the world in Borneo. And they're asking me if I'm okay getting near a giraffe. And I just looked at them and I was like, wow, you haven't really seen my resume, have you? I'm okay getting near any animal. I'm not afraid of any of them.
I was just going to ask you, have there been any bad encounters, though?
There was one. I can't believe this, because I thought there's no way there's going to be any, because most of the episodes, if you've seen, unfortunately, I don't get to get close to the animals because they're getting operated on, or, you know, it's maybe an animal handler will be, a caretaker will be holding one next to me, but nothing like the animals I got to be in contact with on Ms. Adventure. And so I just thought, well, there's never going to be an episode where I'm afraid of anything. Well, I'll be lucky if I can stand next to one, right? And about 6 weeks ago, we were in the bird sanctuary with all these beautiful exotic birds flying around, and I love birds. And I had one on my head and two on my shoulder, and then they wanted me to hold my hands out, and they put about 27 live worms in my hand so that this beautiful bird would fly to my hand, and I could just do my stand-up like that. And I held it, and I held it on. And now these are mealworms. Oh, and there's a couple of these worms that were so, like, worms on crack. I don't know what they were doing. It's like literally like this, and they started crawling up my arm. I had no idea that I was freaked out. I have behind-the-scenes footage that I don't think I ever want aired. I said words I didn't even know I knew. After a while, I just couldn't do it. It's just like that slow torture where, like, the worms, and you have to smile at the camera. You can feel these worms crawling up your arm. And finally, I just lost it. I was like, "Get out! I can't do it anymore!"
This was your Indiana Jones and the Snake Pit moment.
It was. It totally was. And I was like, of all the animals I've held, I was freaked out by, like,
little,
eight
tiny worms. Well, you know, we all have that moment where we find what we're actually afraid of. And
yes,
that's right. Not necessarily what we expect.
No. Worms. Worms.
You're at Busch Gardens. You said I think you'd come down about once a month, and you tape your segments.
Yep.
And the show is in its second season?
The show is in its third season.
Third season.
We have been on the air for 2 years. We are in our third year right now. And I believe we have a few more ahead of us.
Excellent.
So I'm very excited to be part of something where I'm not afraid it's going to end tomorrow, because I think that now there's a big picture. I think that, like you said, you were saying the timing is perfect to have animals on television, to become more aware and to learn and educate. And I get to be a part of it. It's so exciting for me, and I hope I can do more. Not just with this show, but in general, just in conservation and travel, you know?
Well, in reading, and we can't rely on IMDb too much, but in reading through your credits on IMDb, it seems like this is the longest run, continuous run of any program that you've had, right?
It's unbelievable. Designed to Sell on HGTV was a year, and Misadventure was a year, and most shows, you'll be lucky if they're a year. I mean, a lot of my friends, they're so excited to get a pilot, and then they got six episodes, and they don't know if it's going to get picked up. So they'll film those episodes, and most of the time they don't get picked up.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's just such a roller coaster of up and down, and I just feel so blessed to be a part of something that is. But at the same time, you look at their resume and go, well, what else has she done?
Well, but this is a good one. But I was going to say, I always feel bad for the cast on shows that they get picked up in the fall for 13 episodes, waiting to see if they're going to get the back nine, to see that they lost three episodes.
Yes.
They're not performing, and the question of the back nine is no longer the issue. It's, what am I going to do? How am I going to live after these 10 that we're
it
down
really
to?
Is. Yeah, it's a constant thing that everybody in the entertainment has over their head, is what's going to happen and how can I survive after this? So it's hard to even be happy you have a job, because 6 months later you're like, okay, now what? There's always that next thing. But you can't live in that space. That's the thing. You shouldn't be in this business if that's going to freak you out, because this is the business of instability.
does this show give you the opportunity to do ancillary things? For example, do you make personal appearances with wildlife docs? Are you doing anything on your own to kind of capitalize this? I mean, especially if the show's going to go on for a while longer.
Well, now I think they have a bigger picture of using me in a way where I'm not just the narrator of the show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now, I think it's taken them a while to see that, you know, when I'm on my own, I'm meeting with Jane Goodall. I'm at wildlife conservation funds. You know, this is what I do in my spare time for free. And they're thinking, maybe we can use her for the good. You think? So, you know, I'm really excited to do personal appearances and to do as much as I can to have a platform for animals and to bring awareness, really. I mean, because of this show, I got involved in a wildlife organization and that really deals with the animals in South Africa that are being poached. And the problem is that the poor in Africa, I mean, it's about the money. It really is. And it's about the people. If we can educate the people and we can help get them jobs and teach them how to farm and teach them how to make their own honey, that's a big deal. Then they're not going to be so desperate to kill these animals to get a little bit of money from the poachers. You know, so it's a really big picture. And, you know, being a host of a morning show on ABC, I hope it's just a platform that can allow me to do a lot more things.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking, I hadn't even thought about this. I've had a couple other women on the show who've been very involved with animals. Tippi Hendren.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And Elaine Hendricks.
Okay.
She's very big with protecting dogs. So,
absolutely.
I don't have a real connection here for that, but I just wanted to mention that there are these other interviews in the archive that have some relation to this.
That's great. I would think it's a rare person that can, I mean, if you're not a big animal person, I think it's a rare person that doesn't find it somewhat interesting.
Oh yeah.
And somewhat are piqued by learning about animals. I mean, there's exotic animals that you've never heard of, like an echidna that has four penises. Like, what kind of animal has four penises?
Rick Springfield.
Full circle. Here you go. I love it. I love it.
Rick, you're welcome.
exactly.
So what? I don't know where I'm going to go from there.
I think that's good. That's kind of a good – where do you go from there?
Well, I do want to ask you one other thing. So when you're not shooting the show, which you're coming down to Tampa once a month to do that, what else, you know, what else is in your life? Are you
– I do Skype interviews on my couch.
Ah. You mean I'm not your first on the couch?
Oh, take a number. I just put you in a different place on the couch, so you feel like you were the first.
I cannot say a word to any of that.
No. What do I do in my spare time?
Yeah, what do you do when you're not the?
There are still auditions for commercials, and I'm filming an infomercial next month for a real estate company. I audition for other shows. The only thing I can't do is another animal show, but they've given me open form because really I only film one day, maybe a month. Probably one day every other month is when I'm actually working. And we'll do five episodes in one day. So I have a lot of downtime when I'm back in LA to, you know, try to get other things going. I love to do stand-up in my free time and write music and, you know, get the rest of the career consistent.
How would people find out about your about stand-up gigs if you were appearing somewhere? Where would they find you?
That's a really good question. I perform all over. I'm pretty good about social media. I'll tweet it, Rachel Reinstra, my Facebook, Rachel Reinstra. I also have a blog called loveyourwildlife.com. And I also teach hosting class, learntobeatvhost.com. And so I teach hosting class it's like a 5-week workshop. And I teach you how to put your brand out there and to really, you know, host web series, not just television, but anything that you love and share it with the world. So I put it out there. I keep it busy. But, you know, it could happen tomorrow. I'll get a call and they'll say, can you perform here? And I will. So it's it kind of comes and goes. I kind of get to choose when I want to perform and when I don't.
And how soon do you think I need to sign up for this 5-week hosting class?
Oh, right now. Start Monday. You got to live in LA, though.
Oh, okay.
Not a webinar.
Not a webinar, no.
Not yet.
Bummer. But based on this experience, you think I need to get in that class immediately, huh?
Oh, well, no. What are you talking about? Look at you. You're the man, Bob.
Can be sure. I could just be a woman with a very deep voice.
Well, no. Yeah, that's true. I only see you from here up, so I'm just, you're right. I live in L.A. What do I know?
Yeah, really. You know, it could be anything.
Bob, Bobby, Barbara,
Barbara,
whatever you want me to call you.
Babs.
Today.
Babs. Yes. All right. Folks, listen, you can see Rachel Reinstra on the Wildlife Docs Saturday mornings on your local ABC affiliate, or you can catch up on the first season episodes you missed on Hulu.com. Rachel's website is rachelreinstra.net, correct?
.com. .com will put you to the
.net.
.com
will do it too?
.com sounds cooler, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, but sometimes it doesn't work.
Oh, I got the .com. I own the .com.
You got the .com thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you said you're on Twitter and Facebook.
That's right. And loveyourwildlife.com, which is my blog about wildlife and what we can learn from wildlife and all the heroes in wildlife.
And where do we go to find your hand-drawn photos of you and Rick Springfield?
Oh, that! How did you find those? That was weird. There was a hand-drawn picture of me and Rick Springfield, only because on the Rick Springfield cruise that I went on, it was a fan cruise, every girl had their doors of their cabin covered in pictures, and I had none, so I drew them.
So wait. See, I didn't know anything about this. So this is true? You actually drew a picture? Wow.
Yes. And they are out there. They're stick figures of me and Rick because I didn't have any actual ones at the time.
I got to get Kreskin back on the show. I'm starting to move into his territory. Okay. Well, Rachel Reinstra.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us at Mr. Media today. And we'll look forward to seeing new episodes of The Wildlife Docs.
Thank you. And, it can be confusing because it's wildlife, not wildlife dogs.
Docs.
Docs. And that's short for the doctors of wildlife. So wildlife docs. When I first booked the show, I thought it was wildlife documentaries.
Wow.
But no, it's wildlife docs.
What's up, wildlife docs?
What's up, wildlife docs? Exactly. On ABC on Saturdays and Sundays.
Excellent. Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mr. Media.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of animal lovers who are brought to tears by stories of the love between a woman and her kangaroo in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Can you tilt the screen just a little bit so your head goes up? There you go. Perfect.
Like that?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. And some people would wrongly think that was a cleavage. That was not it. I swear to you. I had to have room across the bottom to put your name and all that stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cleavage is just the bonus. Sorry.
He'll block that anyway.
Okay. Very good. And tell me his name.
Oh, this?
Yes. This
is Mr. Peabody.
Mr.
And I have Oprah sitting by the fire right now.
Mr.